Welcome back. The Gary Sharp Show here on 1620 The Zone. Just flying by on a Friday. Our friend Emily brought us some delicious food in from the Cuban Kitchen food truck that's sitting outside of our studio right now. Promotions director Emily, thank you to her and to Cuban Kitchen. Delicious Cuban sandwich I'm working on during the breaks here. Would highly recommend. We're at, I mean, this is open to the public, yes, I assume? The food truck?
I mean, if they want to, why not?
Yeah, come on down to 50th and Dodge and get some Cuban Kitchen from the delicious food truck here.
I have no idea how long I'll be out there.
Yeah, but it's lunchtime. Go get some food.
Why not?
Let's go.
Yep.
We've got Leo on the Ravi Lula hotline. He has a suggestion for the Olympics. Leo, what do you got for me?
Hey, what I have is bring back. I was a gymnast back in the 80s.
Okay.
Bring back the guys like Jim Hartung, Phil Cahoy, Tim Daggett, Scott Johnson, those Olympic guys, or even the guys who are in gymnastics, and compete again after they're 50 years old. Let them do the floor exercise, pommel horse, parallel bars, high bar, and see if they can still do it.
Leo,
that would be interesting.
I like it. Thank you for the call, Leo. I don't mean to cut you off if I did there. I think we're going to have a lot of injuries if that happens, but I do kind of like in baseball, they used to play the old timers games where the old timers, the retired players would come out and play an exhibition against current day players or against each other, depending on the situation. But that would be an interesting, that would be a very interesting watch. I do think we would see a lot of injuries.
Oh, I think so too.
Which is why they stopped doing the old timers games in baseball. And the physical demands of gymnastics are a lot higher than that of baseball.
Absolutely.
You might have to lower that age to, I mean, because most gymnasts are basically out of the sport by what, 30 at the latest?
No, I mean,
for women, it's younger.
I was about to say, for women, it's like 20.
Yeah, women, once you hit drinking age, you're done, basically.
Yes.
Mid-20s at the very latest, if you're a legend. But the men, I think, peak just a little later, if I'm remembering correctly, in my Olympic gymnastics knowledge here, which I will admit is a bit of a blind spot.
Okay.
On the men's side, at least. I'm not terrible with the women's, at least on the U.S. side of things with gymnastics, but I don't watch nearly as much men's gymnastics, frankly, because the U.S. just isn't as good at it.
Bingo.
But I believe they skew just a little older. So we'll say 30 as a safe point. Maybe you drop that age down to 35. You see these guys take a handful of years off. They come back and compete after 35. That would maybe be interesting. I think 50 might just skew a little old.
Yes.
For keeping any of those guys alive still.
And I think a lot of people might, and I agree with the 50, but wouldn't you love to see if some of these, especially the women on the women's side, some of these gold medalists, see if they still got it?
Oh, 100%. I think people want to see,
I think that would be fantastic,
their old favorite stars, right?
Yep.
The you know, these Olympic stars from years past, I think that would be a huge draw. I do think you'd have to do it earlier than 50 to keep anyone even sort of safe.
Agreed.
But I do think it's an interesting idea. You could almost do like a Masters Olympics.
There's a
lot of, for instance, in the Cornhusker State Games, right? There's basically a Masters division for most of the events here in Nebraska, which I think they're coming up maybe next weekend. They're coming up pretty quick here. Or they might be going on right now, actually. I've competed a few times in powerlifting in the state games, and going through the lists of the different sports and those types of things, there's a Masters division in pretty much all the sports. I think it's over 40. And I think it would be interesting to see that in I think it'd be interesting to see that in some of these Olympic sports at a higher level in terms of the Olympic sports, whether it's gymnastics, whether it's rowing, kayaking. There's some of these sports you could do as an older person, but you don't see very many Olympians, at least competitively in terms of for medals, competing past the age of 40. So I think a Masters Olympics would be interesting. It might also be a way to use these stadiums that basically lie dormant after 2 weeks in a lot of these countries that that never end up using those stadiums again. On the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed, DC chimes in with dressage as a favorite random Olympic sport, which if you're unfamiliar with dressage, it's basically fancy horse dancing.
Oh, yeah. Also another classic 3 a.m. turn on, what the hell is going on with this horse? That's a, the classic 3 a.m. turn it on and you get lost in it.
Honestly, it is. It's kind of fascinating. Part of it for me is you're right, you do kind of get lost in it and you watch it and you kind of just think to yourself, how is this being judged? Right?
Yeah.
I look at it because with gymnastics and figure skating, we have a little bit more familiarity with it. So you kind of understand the judging system and you do more flips or twirls or spins and you get more points for it and you have to land cleanly and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
I don't know any of the things the horse is supposed to be or not supposed to be doing in dressage. I don't know any of it. None of it makes sense to me.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%.
Because it all looks like kind of herky-jerky a little bit. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of a stutter stop to it.
Yeah.
Like somebody's trying to pull off a little hezzy move in basketball. That's kind of what all of dressage looks like to me.
Yes.
And so I have a really hard time figuring out what's good and what's not.
Yes.
And I will say that is kind of a pet peeve in sports for me, is if I can't pretty intuitively tell who's doing well and who isn't,
mm-hmm.
then I'm kind of out. Right? I think that's why I like, you know, track and field and swimming are easy to follow because it's, you know, that's pretty black and white in terms of who's winning and who's not. Same thing with handball, yes. Obviously. Water polo, same deal. A lot of this stuff is very easy to tell who's winning. Dressage is not. I never know who's winning in dressage.
Like, never. I was like, I don't know if that's good. It looks good. It's okay. I have no idea what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like when I watch the Westminster Kennel Dog Show.
Mm. Okay, yeah.
Because I'm just like, oh, that's a good dog, and that's a good dog. Oh, that's a good boy. What a pretty dog that is. And then they pick the ugly Chinese Pekingese as the best in show, and I'm like, that's the only thing here that doesn't even look like a dog.
Where? Like, show me the scorecard. Where?
Yeah, and it's like, I understand they're judging it against the ideals for the breed.
Yeah.
But at some point, it has to look like a dog. And the Chinese Pekingese does not match that very low bar, which I have set for the dog show. I still watch it because I just like watching all the good boys and good girls on TV. But it's a frustration point for me because I never know who's winning, yes. Right? I used to have this issue with soccer in the World Cup when about 10 to 12 years ago, they had a horrible refereeing problem in which case it was when flopping's always kind of been an issue in soccer, but flopping really took it up a notch, took it to the next level in international soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And the referees weren't being able to tell what was a flop and what was a real foul. And so it felt totally arbitrary and it made soccer really difficult to watch because at any given moment, you didn't know what was going to be a foul. it's one of the most frustrating things that's happening with the NFL right now, in the sense that half the time you don't know what a catch is.
Bingo.
In the NBA, with some of these super slow-mo replays where it's very obvious that Patrick Beverly hit something out of bounds, but it touches the cuticle of Devin Booker's fingernail, and all of a sudden it's, you know.
I hate it.
That's not what we're trying to use this for.
Right.
Right? And when the rules or scoring or just the sport in general becomes too confusing to just intuitively understand, it's a huge turnoff for me for the sport. That's why I can't get behind dressage. You know, when you're watching fencing, it's pretty easy to say, okay, he poked that guy. I may not understand the terminology. I may not understand the scoring, but I understand the general premise of how people win or lose at fencing, right? It's not that complicated. There's the sports that don't offer that to me, I have a really hard time getting behind. We've got Doug on the Ravi Lula hotline. Is this Equitable Bank, Doug?
No.
Oh, okay, just regular Doug.
Shout out to Equitable Bank, Doug. They got a new location.
Regular Doug, hey, what do you got for me?
Regular Doug. Well, we just got to get off this soccer flopping thing because on the international matches and many MLS, the VAR, the virtual assistant referee, solves all of that. It's totally cleaned up that aspect of the sport. I mean, I know historically it was a thing, but it's just like tennis. And it's too bad other sports can't do it, but maybe baseball could if they were, you know, if they went to virtual umpiring or something like that. But soccer doesn't happen anymore. It's a clean sport. I mean, it's cleaner, as clean as anyone else. So that's what I got.
Appreciate the call, Doug. No, and Doug's right. That's why I went it back to about 10, 12 years ago before they had figured this out, and I failed to mention VAR. So I appreciate Doug calling in and adding that. VAR is what allowed the referees to clean that up, which
absolutely
makes international soccer is one of my favorite things to watch. I love watching international soccer.
It's so good.
I don't get huge into the MLS because the quality just isn't quite as high. I do enjoy some of the European League soccer, but I really enjoyed, you know, I was very into the Euros, the Euro 2020s that were happening in 2021, which was a bit confusing. I was really into the Euros. I enjoyed that a lot. I enjoy international soccer immensely. And I will say the MLS quality has gotten way better than it was.
Way better.
Way better. And you're getting the international stars. It used to be basically their retirement gig.
Yeah.
It's still latter stage of their career gig, but you're getting them younger now, which has brought a higher level. And plus, I think the development in the United States of youth soccer, which youth soccer has always been pretty strong in the United States. It didn't always translate to adult soccer,
right,
because they branch off and started playing other sports. But the development and transition into the U.S.'s own soccer system has improved as well, which has certainly helped the case of MLS.
Later, we're totally going to talk about the USA men's team.
Men's basketball?
Yes.
I want to talk about that. I want to talk a little bit more about 3-on-3.
Yeah, we're totally going to touch that
as
later.
Well.
So I'm going to put all of that in my back pocket in regards to the Olympics. But
we'll probably hit that up after we talk to Dirk.
Absolutely.
Because I do have some thoughts.
Yeah.
I imagine you do too.
Yeah, because
I also have just a grenade topic that I might throw at you at some point. It's a basketball one, and I think you'll really like it.
Robbie.
So that's just if we get bored.
Robbie.
That's just a little surprise I might throw at George later in the show. But before we get to all that, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to get to Dirk Chatelain in a few minutes. But we've got a little bit of time left in this hour if you want to hit us up on the Robbie Lula Hotline, 402-951-1620. The JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed, at RALula, at MyIceIsBlack04, or the Equitable Bank inbox. We take banking personally, equitableonline.com. That's George at 1620thezone.com. Hit us up. We got a few more minutes left in our open hour to talk about whatever you'd like. But we're talking a lot of Olympics right now. So hit us up with your thoughts there. We've got more of the Gary Sharp Show coming up next on 1620 The Zone.